Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, and we'll be playing some great music. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. Hey again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote, where we play great video game music tunes. The track I'm about to play from next is from a very, very well-known video game series, in fact, one of the biggest. And this is from one of the highest regarded games from that series. It's Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, the game that took the game and series into the modern age. So, without further ado, what we're going to listen to is All In, one of the music tracks from the game by Stephen Barson. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy. And what you just heard there was All In. It is by Stephen Barton, a British film and game composer who's made music for many other games as well as movies. It is, of course, from the game Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare by Infinity Ward. Now, Call of Duty is a very popular game series. It started off by doing a lot of World War II style games. And then with Call of Duty 4, they took the leap into the modern era with modern guns, modern technology, stuff like shooting from helicopters and all this sort of stuff, and evolved a very modern setting with kind of like a fictional Middle Eastern country and all this stuff fighting, and you're also dealing with the Russian Civil War and all this sort of stuff. And basically, you've got a, there's a bad guy on the loose who's caused a lot of trouble, and you've got to track him down. But unfortunately, he seems to have sort of prepared, and one of the most dramatic scenes in the game involves him basically taking detonating a nuclear warhead. That's pretty mental. The game actually is pretty fun, although to be honest I find it kind of scripted. You know, you always seem to be following someone, but you gotta admire the diversity. I mean, you know, one moment, you know, there's like on the rails vehicle sections, stealth sections, bunker sections where you shoot through the game. And also one of my kind of favorites is where you go to Pripyat, the city that of course was basically evacuated after Chernobyl. Yeah, so it's kind of funny, a few weeks ago I was doing Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl and you know, that game also lets you go into the same city and see the same wheel in completely different settings, I have to say. And yeah, this game lets you do the same thing, although it was several years ago, and you've got to make your way through the game and deal with some arms deal that's going down there, because you know, these arms, illegal arms guys definitely want to take their deals in irradiated areas. I could talk a lot about Call of Duty. It's like one of the biggest series out there, and I'm kind of missing a bit since I don't play it that much, and or play much of the multiplayer, which is another key thing of it. But like I said, Modern Warfare definitely was a bit of a major change for the series, and also is still one of its well-regarded series. So I enjoyed the game, and yeah. All right, we're going to make some music from another game now. This is from Sonic Rivals. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. And what you had there was from Sonic Rivals. It was Forest Fall Zone Act 1. And it is from the game Sonic Rivals. And it was composed by Chris Resenson. And the game itself was developed by Backbone Entertainment and Sega Studios USA. Sonic Rivals was a game that came out for the PSP in 2006, the same year as a certain other Sonic the Hedgehog game, which I won't speak about much about here. It was actually quite an interesting, kind of like 2.5D as the term is, where everything's in 3D graphics, but you're actually plays like a standard platformer. You jump up, you fall down, you go left, right, jump up and down. You don't go like forwards and back. There's no depth in this. But I think Pandemonium for the PlayStation was one of the earliest games that went for this sort of thing. But also Klonoa, I loved that game, and that does really neat things with the whole 2.5D gameplay. But with Sonic Rivals, essentially you use this to have races. Yep, that's the Rivals isn't just in the title. You'd be Sonic or, you know, one of the other Shadow or one of the other characters, and you'd base or Silver or... And your whole thing is to race up and try to beat one of the other players. Get to the finishing line before they do. Computer controlled, although I believe it was multiplayer, but I never really tried that out. Also, if you got far enough, you'd also be able to customize Sonic the Hedgehog and let him have these different gloves and shoes and stuff, which was kind of a bit of fun. And generally, it had a whole load of plot that honestly was a bit crazy and involved alternate realities, and I didn't quite get because it was just so stupid and also involved stuff about Eggman, but that doesn't really matter, because at the time you were just playing through stages, listening to music, and doing all that sort of stuff. So yes, like I said, one of the earlier titles for the PSP, Sony's console. Of course, now they're on the PS Vita, and had a sequel which I haven't played yet. Maybe I'll play it one day, maybe I won't. That actually does have a kind of a nice little theme song to it, which I might play sometime. On to our next game, and this is a game that I actually completed fairly recently and is what I think a very nice track from it. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations, the third game in the original Phoenix Wright trilogy. Now, they are games that came after that, such as for the 3DS, and one involving a character who wasn't Phoenix Wright as the main character. And also there's a crossover Phoenix Wright has, which... with Professor Layton, which is a game I'm definitely planning to play sometime. But this is the Trials and Tribulations, the original trilogy that was kind of on the Game Boy and then onto the DS Lite, you know, Nintendo dual screen. What's more, nowadays it's also on the iOS, you know, mobile games. So if you've got an Apple device, you can actually go into the App Store and buy the original trilogy, or you can even just download the app, play the first case for completely free just to get a sense for the game, and then you can pay for all the additional episodes you want. I think that's pretty cool because, like I said, as a gamer, the longer you are the gamer, the more retro games and retro consoles are piling up. So constantly having the hardware and the games available to play on the hardware is tricky. Why do you think it took me so long to actually get my hands in Trials and Tribulations? I mean, I kind of always wanted to do it, but I basically had to buy it from a second-hand video game stall that was at a comics exhibition in the RDS. That's how I finally managed to get my hands on this third game. I mean, I don't always jump on games immediately after they're released. I'm a bit of a laggard in that regard. But it is getting tricky to actually just keep on track of these. They're not like movies where, you know, you can just download, where you can just get your hands on a DVD or download or whatever. You know, it's just tricky. All right, and especially since I like to keep things legal and everything. But yes, Trials and Tribulations is, like I said, the third game in the saga. I thought it was a good conclusion. I thought some of the cases were a bit weak. As always, you are playing a defense attorney, and you've got a client, and your client is innocent, and you must believe in your client, and you must directly ask your client whether or not they're guilty of the crime, despite the fact that in real legal circles, doing so might jeopardize your ability to properly represent them, since then you wouldn't be able to ask them questions that you knew they'd respond to in a false manner. Also, the prosecutions are kind of jerks, and they are happy to remove evidence from crime scenes before the police see it, and then suddenly and randomly present them at the final court session, which, of course, breaks the chain of evidence, completely interferes with it. I believe it kind of breaks the, the O'Brien rule? I forget which one that is. And, basically, it's like, I hear that it's meant to be a parody of Japanese court systems where the prosecutions are given a lot of power, and in fact the prosecutions don't generally take cases against individuals unless they have all the evidence and are sure they can win. But at the same time, it's, you know, I've had a bit of legal studies, yet probably not enough since I completely forget which rule it is that says that the prosecution has to hand over evidence to the defense. But let's forget my things go. And it's just kind of ridiculous how completely against so many different legal rules this thing is. Including in one case, you're literally forced to cross-examine your own witness to uncover the truth, despite the fact that it's completely ambiguous whether this will actually help your client be defended at all. But of course, this is an idealistic game. The game of all the old-fashioned things like Perry Mason and stuff of the vein, where you have to go around and just basically say, my client is innocent, I'll prove it to you and I'll prove it to everyone else. And yes, even though that the odds of probability are that my client is guilty, since the fact that it's almost such a sure case against him in every single scenario, I'll prove that it's actually a convoluted series of events that just has so happened to make it seem to the unbiased observer that my client definitely did it. But instead, I shall dive into it and through doing my own investigations and my own cross-examining different people to find evidence that will finally clear my client's name. And usually in the process, find exactly who's guilty and then just hope that the prosecution will end up actually, you know, prosecuting the right guy in a completely different trial, which I will not be part of. It's kind of funny, the whole defender of the people, but that's what it's about, you know. The previous game in the series called Justice for All, and that's what it's about. And it comes also to a pretty powerful finish in the end, which is one thing I like about the game. For instance, the one prosecutor that has popped up, and I mean, I knew it was coming because I've watched a lot of Phoenix Wright animations and stuff online, so I knew what he looked like. But you get a new prosecutor called Godo. Apparently I had to wait for that one. And Godo is essentially kind of interesting. He has a nice waistcoat, but he's also got this gigantic goggles over his eyes that have basically three horizontal red bars in it. White hair, and somehow I thought, this is a powerful guy. And then I played the game and suddenly thought, he's a complete jerk, and somehow he manages to get away with it to everyone, including the judge. And he also constantly drinks a lot of coffee and constantly puts you off. But one thing is, he constantly seems to attack Phoenix Wright, the main protagonist, and he constantly seems to imply that they've met before. And I think as the thing goes on, the final conclusion about what he's about and what his motivations are, I thought it was pretty awesome. So, in honor of Godo, the prosecutor who actually doesn't technically win a single case against you through the entire trial, we have his theme song, or theme tune, which is The Fragrance of Dark Colored Coffee. As I said, it is from Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Trials and Tribulations, and it was composed and arranged by Noriyuki Iwadari. And, of course, it's from the game that was published and developed by Capcom. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy. I think it really does sum up some of the more somber moments of this game. Thank you. That was Godot's theme, The Fragrance of Dark Colors Coffee from Phoenix Wright's Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations, composed by Noriyuki Odaiba and developed by Capcom. So, I think I'll leave this show and end the show by music from a game that I love and I've played music from before. And indeed, I played music from on the first episode of the show, and more recently when its third iteration of the series was finally announced after a lot of fan waiting and anticipation. I speak, of course, of Shenmue, a game developed by Sega, and this bit of music is by Osamu Murata, and of course it was released from the Dreamcast. It was a very, very ambitious game, and it was amazingly ambitious, so much detail, so much atmosphere, and even though it didn't quite make its money back and there were problems, it was just real admiration for what it did, and it was by people who really, really wanted to accomplish something and had a vision. Not just some petty sort of like filling up a market or copying the last people who went. It was someone who had an idea in their head and really went for it, and along with a great team that worked really hard to produce this. But it also is something unique and something few people will forget about instantly. And of course the music, gotta love the music. I'm gonna end the show with this tune. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. The name of the song or tune is called Departure of Hope. Take care.